I love working first of all. Grab your Bible, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to read a couple verses here, and I'll read a verse to you over in Philippians. And this is a revival. This is, you say, wait a minute, we're in the Christian school. I know, this is a college and a school revival. And what I'm trying to do is just stir your hearts up. You know what, young people? You need to learn to walk with God, and you need to learn to love God, and you need to learn to give your life over to the Lord just like big people need to. And you know what? You can have the joy of the Lord in your life, and you can serve God with happiness and all. That's part of being revived and living the revived life. To be revived means simply to be brought back to life. Here in Matthew chapter 5, we see what God gives us as part of our life and what we're supposed to do here. He says in verse number 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God says that we're supposed to be the light of the world. He didn't say just adult people. He didn't say just older people. No, but every one of us, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, you're supposed to be the light of the world. And a light is not supposed to be hidden under a bushel. A light is supposed to be out where people can see it, where it gives light to everybody and everything. That's the way the Lord wants us to live our lives. Over in Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 15, it says this, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." That's what we live in today. "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." What are you saying? Hey, we ought to be the light of this world. We ought to be shining forth the light of this world. You know, the way I want to put it this morning is simply this. We need to be set on fire for the Lord. How many of you have heard people say something like that, they sure are on fire for God? How many of you have heard people say that about other people? Yeah, and really, truly, that's something that ought to be a part of every one of our lives. It ought to be a part of our lives as a young person and as we go through the days of our life. There was a revival that took place at the turn of the last century, and it was called the Welsh Revival. And that Welsh revival was a revival that spread all over the world. It wasn't just in that little tiny land of Wales, but it spread all over the world. But do you know that that revival started because of young people? It started because young people got on fire for God. And young people got on fire and a hunger and a desire to live for God and to see God work in their midst and everything. And so, matter of fact, the people that were given credit for the revival were from the age of 16 to 26. That was the ones who brought, that revival spread to America. That revival spread all over America. Because of that revival, get this, back in the turn of the last century, towns like Denver, Colorado, towns like Boston, Massachusetts, they were shutting down their stores in the middle of the town, their big cities. They were shutting down the stores and having prayer meeting for an hour in the middle of the day because of what that revival did. And it started because of young people, because young people got on fire for God. Now listen, God wants us to be on fire for Him. He wants us to be the light of the world. I say this also, fire emanates light. In other words, fire produces light. So if we're set on fire for God, then we'll be the light of the world that God wants us to be. Many of you know that years ago I was a fireman. And I spent 15 years in the fire department, and 15 years doing my best to do what I could do to put fire out and to help preserve property and life and all of that. But you know what? When I was in there, when I first went into the fire department, before I ever really got going in the department, I had to go through training. And the training they put us through was called Firefighter 1 and Firefighter 2. And in those basic trainings that we had to go through, we learned some very important things. And the first thing, this is probably good for a firefighter to know, the first thing is we learned what fire was. That's a pretty important thing to know as a fireman. And I want to give you the definitions, the basic definitions that they gave us back then. First one was this. They said it is heat and light emanating from any body visibly. Now, that didn't mean necessarily a human body. That meant a body of whatever, a structure. But heat and light emanating from any body visibly. And then the second definition was the effect of combustion. And this is what combustion is. It's the operation of fire on inflammable substances. So it's when fire gets a hold of something that's in something that's inflammable, all of a sudden it can burst into flames and it can begin to burn also. You know, I was thinking about that when I put these thoughts together a long time ago and about the application to the Christian, that someone who is on fire for the Lord or on fire for God, she is surely described by that first definition. What do you mean? Heat and light emanating from anybody visibly. In other words, you know what I'm talking about. When somebody's on fire for God, man, they're just energetic and they're excited and there's just something that comes from that. There's a light that comes from that and energy that comes from that and everything. I was thinking about a young lady that I helped start Bible college in the church I was in before I came here. And the first Bible college student we ever had, she was from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And she was lived in a pretty tough situation. Her daddy raised her and two other brothers, and mom had left them when she was about 3 months old, 4 months old. She never had a mom to raise her in the home, and she had to live with a dad and two brothers. It was a pretty tough situation for a young girl to grow up in, and they lived back in the woods and shack. But she got saved through a church there, and she really hungered and wanted to do more for God with her life, and so she signed up to come to Bible college, and her name was Dehanna. And Dehanna, she was not like a lot of what we would think us, in the respect that she was a little bit backward coming from where she came from and everything. But because of that, people kind of looked down on her. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Dehanna had God in her life. Dehanna was an exciting young lady. I mean, she loved the Lord. She was not ashamed to speak out for God. Hey, when other people, other college students were doing something wrong, she wasn't ashamed to speak out and tell them, you ought not be doing that. You shouldn't do this. You know, and the other college students would sometimes just kind of, oh yeah, like she knows what she's talking about. Or, you know, they would just cast down on her because she was a little backward. She was a little different than everybody else. But Dehanna had a great testimony. She worked at McDonald's there in town to get money to be able to make it through college and all. And all the workers there, the supervisors there really loved her because she was a hard worker. And even though she was always talking about the Lord and she was always a witness for God, I mean, she was on fire for the Lord. Well, one day she had to work an early shift. And so Dehanna was, it was 6 o'clock in the morning shift. And some of the girls would give her a hard time if they woke them up, she would wake them up to get a ride to work. And so she just decided that morning, I'm just going to walk to work. It was about a mile away. I'm just going to walk to work. And she got up and headed across the road there to walk to work. And as she did, there was a car coming. And that car dropped something. He reached down to pick it up. And then when he did, he swerved and he hit Dehanna and killed her. Man, it was a tough, tough, tough situation. This is crazy, but the night before, me and my wife had gone to McDonald's to grab a sandwich, and this was just the way Dehanna was. When we walked in, she was on the far end, the far register, but as soon as she walked in, she said, "Oh, Brother Martin, come on over here, come on over," I mean, in front of everybody, you know. And so we went over there, and she began to tell us, "Guess what happened? I got a raise, and I'm going to be able to finish off my school bill, and man, I'll have money prepared for next year." And this was 12 hours before she was in heaven. Boy, when she died, though, I'm telling you, they called me. I was getting ready to fly out to go to Florida for a meeting, and they called me and asked me if I would come over to the dormitory, the girls' dormitory. I'm telling you, the girls' dormitory, the girls were devastated. You know, the biggest thing was they were riddled with guilt because of how bad they had treated her, because of how they didn't treat her the way that they should have treated her. She had such an impact, Dehanna had such an impact, that when they had the funeral, and I wasn't there, they had me tape something to say, and they played it at the funeral. But the McDonald's crew that she worked with, they pulled in another group of workers from another city to take the shift at McDonald's so that all the workers from McDonald's could come to the funeral. There was 18 people saved from the McDonald's that came to the funeral that day. Why? Because somebody was set on fire for God. Boy, I would have loved to have seen her face when she got to see her Savior, because she lived the life that she should live, and she was somebody who was on fire for God. You know, maybe there was a time in your life where you were on fire for God, but it's just not there. But every one of us, I'm not even going to ask the question. I'm not even going to ask you how many of you want to be on fire for God. But I'm going to tell you this, everybody's answer should be me. I want to be on